Hello, and welcome to Nourish Your Biblical Roots Special Edition. I'm Caleb Burrows with the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews. I'll be your host for today's podcast. We're broadcasting this week from NRB, the National Religious Broadcasters Convention. During our time here, we'll be talking with special guests on a variety of topics, especially as they relate to Israel and the Jewish people, current situation in the Holy Land with the ongoing war, and the fellowship's work in Israel right now. Today, I have the honor of welcoming Grace Rapkin, the marketing manager for the Museum of the Jewish People in Tel Aviv, the largest and most comprehensive Jewish museum in the world. The museum tells the ongoing story of the Jewish people from biblical times to the present. I'm so excited to have Grace with us today to share with us more about the museum. Grace, welcome.
Thank you, and thank you for inviting us to speak with you today.
No, I'm so excited to hear about this. Tell me a bit about the museum.
The museum, as you mentioned, reopened in March 2021. The museum was originally established in 1978 as Beit HaTfutzot, or it's better known as the Diaspora Museum. So the relaunch in 2021 was a complete redo of the old museum, and it was renamed ANU, the Museum of the Jewish People. ANU is the Hebrew word for we or us.
Okay.
And part of the idea behind that name is to signal to everybody the openness and the inclusiveness of this new museum and how we are welcoming everybody to come and visit.
That's amazing. So that's kind of your, can you tell me a bit more about your purpose and mission, what you all do?
Absolutely. So the museum, as you mentioned, is a museum that shares the comprehensive history of the Jewish people, and also looks at the identity of the Jewish people through time by way of cultural exhibitions, a historical timeline of the Jewish people from biblical times to the present, including the establishment of the modern-day state of Israel, and also helps people understand how Jewish religious practice is done through exhibitions about covenant, observance of the Sabbath, and also through displays of biblical text.
How did you become involved with the museum, and how long have you been there?
I've had the great pleasure of working with this museum as its marketing director for North America for 7 years.
Okay.
And I started working before the relaunch as we began planning for how to make this museum relevant and appealing to tourists who are visiting in Israel. And that included a lot of work, not just to welcome Jewish visitors, but also to be inclusive and to invite Christian and interfaith visitors to come and find themselves. And they're part of the greater story within the museum at the museum's exhibitions.
The fellowship, one of our missions, one of our parts of our ministry is building bridges between people of faith and Christians, all people of faith. Why is it important not only for Jewish people, but for anyone to know the story of the Jewish people?
We are all entwined with one another throughout history. And we have a number of really significant, important shared roots in the Judeo-Christian practice and religion. And we are very thrilled to be able to help everybody explore from the Jewish side and also the Christian side about all the ways that we share our culture and our religion. So it's a learning experience on both sides of the equation. It's been really interesting and exciting to reach out to different diverse communities and also to learn from the people who visit the museum about how best we can relay that information and make it really interesting to the folks who come visit.
I find that so interesting that it's like a two-way street, that everybody's learning, everybody's becoming educated and becoming more familiar with each other. And that's such a way to combat, you know, hatred is by getting rid of that ignorance and that separation.
Absolutely. And the museums throughout time have been a great kind of safe space for people to come both to learn at their own pace and at their own level of interest, and also to exchange information. And so we are doing something that is a really important part of what it is to be a museum, and particularly a museum in Israel.
Back to the museum itself, what kind of exhibits do you all have?
So they're in the permanent exhibition that was reopened in March of 2021. There are three floors. One floor is completely devoted to cultural exploration of Jewish people, contributions to music, science, philosophy, film, theater, sports, anything you can imagine. And people can learn at their own pace more about each of these personalities and how important they've been throughout history. We've really gone back to also include people who made contributions that may not be as well known. And so for people who say, oh, yes, I know who Steven Spielberg is, we've also included people from, you know, the 12th century who made contributions as well, and certainly also highlighted women.
Okay.
So on the second floor, it's a timeline of the entire history of the Jewish people from biblical times to the present. And it follows Jewish people from start in biblical Israel, and also follows them as they've moved in and out of the diaspora to different places. And a special emphasis of ours is to highlight how Jewish people have been part of different communities throughout the world in different times, and how they've been influenced by those communities, and also how they have influenced the communities themselves. So, you know, we follow to Spain and, the diaspora of Spain and through present day. And the last floor is a section that, as I said before, is about religious practice. And for people, and often it's, you know, Jewish people as well as visitors from other faiths, learning more about how deeply the practice is done and the roots of where some of our most common and most foundational religious observance comes from.
The song from Fiddler on the Roof, tradition, like you're keeping it all going and alive.
Right.
That's really something. I was excited. You have a special new exhibit, the Codex Sassoon. Can you tell us about that?
Absolutely. We are so excited to have acquired this masterwork and incredible world heritage object. So Codex Sassoon is a Bible manuscript. It is the most complete and oldest example of a biblical manuscript. It's the Old Testament that we know to exist in the world today. So its real significance is as a link in the continuum of biblical history. We know that the Bible and the traditions and stories of the Bible were passed along initially orally through oral tradition. Then they moved into what were scrolls of text, not unlike what we see in the Dead Sea Scrolls today in Israel, at the Israel Museum. And this is one of the first and, only existing examples of when the Bible text moved from scroll form to a bound book. And in that book, we see very unique and important notations about how oral tradition is translated to be repeated accurately when being read from a book.
How did that come into the museum's possession?
We received this Bible, Codex Sassoon, as a gift from one of the museum's trustees. His name is Alfred Moses, and he was the Polar Ambassador to Romania. And he bought the Codex at Sotheby's in New York just recently, last spring, for $38.1 million. It was one of the most expensive books ever sold by Sotheby's. A really valuable, valuable artifact. And he donated it to the museum with the express purpose of making this important document available to the public for public view. It has been out of the public view or really rarely seen in the time, the 1,100 years since it was created. So it's a real gift to humanity.
I was going to say, what a gift. I mean, it's something like that all of us should be able to learn from and to experience.
It has its own gallery in the museum in Tel Aviv, and it's in a case so that people can get really up close to the book and take a look at it and explore all of the notations and all of the special, excuse me, properties of seeing this such an old book. And its gallery has a lot of interpretive material that people can learn more about the history, the timeline, how it got to the museum, where it was created, and what purpose it serves. And there's also a place where we've digitized every single page of the Codex, and you can leaf through every single page. That's for people who just have their own personal interest, but also so scholars can have access to all the pages and learn more from having the artifact available.
Wow, that is really amazing that we can all share that. I understand you have an exhibit about the October 7th attacks. Can you tell me a bit about what that is?
Absolutely. So it's been a difficult time in Israel, as you can well imagine. And the museum has been really dedicated to creating a space for people who are visiting Israel to be able to process some of the news and the, you know, the details of the event. And what we have there are works by contemporary Jewish artists in Israel who are reacting to the events of October 7th through their art. So not only does it allow people to understand a little bit better how this felt as an Israeli living through this, but also to have a moment of healing. The artists themselves, it's an act of healing to be able to get this into their art.
Some real catharsis there.
Yeah, and also for people who see the work, it's very moving and very emotional. And I think it's an amazing thing that this museum was able to pull this together so quickly. We're hoping that people will come visit Israel in groups or as individuals who want to come experience that as well.
Well, I hope our listeners will come see that. Before we go, what's your favorite exhibit? If you could pick one thing, if you can, I don't know if you can.
So there's an interactive installation there about the food of different Jewish communities throughout the world. So first of all, it's a place to learn again about that point I made earlier about how Jews have been influenced in the places that they live and how they've influenced others. And it's food for all different places that I've never experienced before. You get a recipe on an interactive screen. On the console, you get the ingredients you need to make the recipe, all digital, virtual, right? Yeah. And virtually, you walk through the steps of the recipe and you make it. Mm. And at the end of the experience, it takes about 5-10 minutes. At the end of that, you get a readout piece of paper or a digital file that allows you to take that recipe.
What's your favorite recipe?
Oh, gosh.
Have you made any of them at all?
I have. There's this Iranian rice dish that I just thought was amazing.
Oh, I'm hungry. It's lunchtime anyway. But
lunchtime?
You have whetted my appetite.
Yes, and as well I should, because it's really amazing to, you know, try all these different things.
When I get back to Israel, I'm for sure stopping by.
Oh, we would welcome you. And, you know, we hope you will come and that that everything will get easier for people to come back and find, you know, what they're looking for in Israel, whatever it be. And we're hoping that the museum will be an important place for people to come visit.
Thank you so much, Grace Rapkin from ANU, the Museum of the Jewish People in Tel Aviv. Thank you so much for stopping by and speaking with me today.
Yeah, thank you, Caleb.
All right, take care.